Have your Bibles this morning. We're going to begin in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. We kind of ended here last week. I know we believe in God. I know that we believe in Jesus Christ, but those are some elementary teachings about God and who He is. But the practicality of, do you have confidence in God? Do you have the confidence in who He is and what He says that it's going to come true? You see, that's part of faith, isn't it? Huh? The assurance of things hoped for and the confidence of things not seen. Confidence. Where does that confidence come from? How can we be confident of who God is and who He says He is when we look around us and we see all the hurt and we see all the devastations and we see all the pestilences and we see all of this that's going on in our lives? How do you get confidence in God? I think that's where a lot of so-called born-again believers struggle is, I know God can do it, and I know God can do everything, and I know God is sovereign over all. He blesses whom He blesses, He curses whom He curses, and He doesn't have to have a reason to do it. He's God. How do I get that confidence? Well, see, in the flesh, you're going to come up short. When we try to take the spiritual things of God, which is why He came, and we try to bring it and put it into the flesh, we're always going to be disappointed. The flesh will never get from God what it wants. God has given us something that we don't want, and God has given us something that we don't even necessarily know that we need. See, we're just left with that void in our life that we long for something, and we fill it with so many things that we do in our world, in our life, that we fill it with all these pleasures that we think that will make us complete and happy and secure. But without the Spirit of God in our lives, man is incomplete. And He says, I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ, until basically Christ comes again. See, none of this is complete until Christ comes at His second coming. And then it all will make sense and it'll all be complete. But Paul writes here, I'm confident in God. I know, and he's speaking from self-experience of what God has done in his life. When he was on the road to Damascus and the bright light of the Lord Jesus Christ blinded him and says, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord, that I'm persecuting you? Who are you? And when Jesus revealed himself to him and he changed his whole course of his life, so he speaks that he has the confidence. Yes, he didn't have the royalty that he once had. He didn't have the easy life that he once had, but he had the assurance and the peace of God that he knew that he was being used as an instrument of God to bring others to salvation. And that became the cornerstone, that became the purpose of his life, is that he would bring this message to the Gentiles, that's me and you, that we might have that reconciliation with Almighty God. You see, it's his work, it's not our work. He never asked me to do anything for him. He's God. What does he need me to do for him? You see, so many people look at what they're doing for God and they have very little in their life that God's doing for them. You see, it says in Scripture that we're his workmanship for his good pleasure. You see, we're created. He's purifying a people for his own purpose and his own use. We were born to praise and to worship and to glorify Almighty God, and we lost that when man sinned and Adam sinned in the Garden of Eden and the Spirit of God left. And we were no longer spiritual beings, but we were just beings of flesh. You see, so many times we tried to make something happen that we have no ability to make happen. I cannot live the born-again life as a new creature without the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I think this is why so many people struggle, because they've not been taught about the born-again experience. They think that somehow if they just give up their job and go on a mission trip, or they sacrifice somehow, that that's pleasing to God in some form or fashion, when Scripture speaks totally contradictory to that, in that we can't please Him in the flesh. So when this great work begins in our life, and we begin to have that struggle in our life of like, why am I doing the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do, oh wretched man that I am, who releases me from this? And as Paul said, it's Jesus Christ and the work that He did upon the cross. See, He didn't just save us, but He cleanses us and He unbinds us from the bondage of sin so that we can walk in a newness of life, but it has to be done in the Spirit. It says that if you walk in the Spirit, you won't carry out the deeds of the flesh. And so I don't understand how all these people that claim to be children of God, and yet they walk apart from His Word. I don't know how those two fit. According to Scripture, it says that we must abide in Him, and He must abide in us. It tells us that He's the vine, and we're the branch. And apart from Me, you can do nothing. And yet, we try to perfect our walk with God in the flesh by giving a sacrifice or doing something for God instead of allowing God to work in us and through us and mold us. And what's frightening is the things that must come out of our lives for us to be the people that He wants us to be. You see, we're trying to hang on to this world as much as we can. And we're trying to hang on to everything that we enjoy in the flesh, and then bring the Spirit along with it, and bring the two together, that they mesh and gel together. You can't do that. There's nothing in the flesh that's pleasing to God, and there's nothing in the flesh that God needs. See, we forget that He allows us to be His righteousness. He allows us to come. And it's His work. And when we don't allow Him to mold us because we get in the way, then He allows us to struggle and be frustrated to the point that we come to the end of ourselves, that we cry out, say, God, what do You want from me? And He quietly says, I required nothing of You. I required it of Myself. And I gave it to You through My Son, Jesus Christ, that You might be My righteousness for My good pleasure. And we forget that. You see, religion puffs us up, and religious says, go do this for God, and go do that for God, and go do this for God, and go do that for God. And God doesn't say that at all. Oh, He says He'll use us, and that we're His instruments. But there's an if behind that. And the if is that we purify ourselves and cleanse ourselves from unrighteousness, then we'll be useful to Him in His kingdom. And again, that can only be done through the power of the Holy Spirit and asking God to get this out of our life. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 11. You see, there's so many books written about God, and there's so much that man has confidence they put in themselves, that they have figured out what Scripture means, and they have figured out what God's going to do, and they have figured out. Have you read some of these books on Revelation before, and how they got it all figured out, who China is and who South Korea is and who this person is and who that is? I read Revelations, and I tell you what, it's like it's coming out of a science fiction movie. God didn't tell us everything. You see, and we as in humanity feel like that if we can't explain everything about God, then someone won't believe God. I mean, Jesus says even when he was on this earth that if everything was miraculously, all the miracles and all the things that he performed in that short period of life that he lived on this earth, if it was all written down, and this is the spiritual warfare that we don't know about that was going on in his walk on this earth. It says that there wouldn't be enough books in the world to contain what he had done. And then this passage of scripture comes up. It says, "For," and this is again in 1 Corinthians 13, in verse 9, it says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." Okay, now that doesn't mean we're lying. It means that we're just telling folks what God has allowed us to know. That's what that means. It's not like, okay, I'm trying to sell a boat, and you know, and I don't tell you everything about the boat. Does it start? Yeah, it starts. Only 3% of the time. You know, I didn't tell you the whole truth. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about that God has allowed man to only understand certain parts. That we don't know all the realm of God. We don't know everything about God. And we're not supposed to. He didn't say, I'm going to tell you everything about me and then you believe. He said, no, you believe me by faith. And then I'll show you what I want to show you. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away with. You see, when Christ comes back and it's all going to be revealed to man, and they're going to say, oh my, oh my. You see, when I was a child, I used to speak like a child. Think like a child. Reason like a child. See, when I became a man, I did away with childish things. See, he's trying to tell us that we can't remain as children. You see, children don't know everything. They think they do. They become very arrogant and think that they have. And if you look at all the movies and where the parents are stupid, and it's the children that save the day. But see, we live in a world and a society that's puffing up our children and puffing up our kids to think that they know everything and their ways are correct. That a child knows and has the ability to say, well, you know, I was born this particular gender, but I don't want to be that gender. And we've come so far in our world to remain in our thinking as children to get what we want. See, a child is only happy when they get what they want. And we're very childish as adults when we have that kind of aspect with God. Well, God, if you give me what I want, then I will worship you. That's not mature thinking. That's childish thinking. That's not the God that exists. And you shouldn't be that kind of a parent either that give your kids every little thing that they want. Because eventually they're going to grow up in this world not to give them anything that they want. See, God sometimes keeps those things away from us to help us to mature up. To realize that we don't have to have everything in this world to serve him or to be happy. But he's trying to teach us that it's just him alone, and that relationship with him is all that we need. But it's because we struggle in this flesh to say, no, Lord, I got to have you and a great job. I got to have you and I got to have great health. I got to have you and I got to have a wonderful home. I got to have all these things that the world says I need and you, and now I'm happy. That's why it says the outer man is decaying, but the inner man is being renewed by strength. Is the fact that God's teaching us as we have this small amount of time on life that he's trying to just yank the world out of our grips and out of our hands and say, no, I'm all that you need and I'm all that matters because I'm talking about eternity. He came to address eternity to us. And Jesus came to warn us that there's a wrath coming. He says, when I come again, it's not going to be for love. It's going to be out to carry out the judgment of Almighty God, and that's because we're a sinful people and we're born in iniquity, and unless we're born again, we'll suffer that iniquity. And our life is about us coming to that conclusion in our life that God is Almighty and we believe God. It's about eternity. It's about sin. It's about repenting of that sin. It's how we have the power to repent of that sin. You see, we just know in part. And we prophesy in part. But when He comes, then that fullness will be here. And we're going to know, and it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 8. We must grow. We must get past the baby steps of Christianity. And I use Christianity very loosely because there is no resemblance of early Christians as we have Christians today. Matter of fact, remember that God never called us Christians. That was a pagan term used to define those people that were following Christ. God never called us Christians. And yet we've coined that term to allow us to have a relationship with God. Oh, are you a Christian? No, I want to know, are you born again? Does the Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God? That's what I want to know. That's what you better know. It's not that you know Him, but does He know you? You see, those are the truths of Scriptures that are often left out. Babies want to be spoon-fed. Babies don't want to have to do anything for themselves. They want everything done for them, and they cry. And what do? We run to them, don't we, to make sure that they're okay, to make sure they have every need met. And then they get a little older, and they throw their temper tantrums so that they can get what they want. Well, that doesn't work with God. Listen to what it says here in chapter 3 in verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual men. I mean, think about this for a moment as he approaches the church at Corinth. And he says, I can't speak to you as spiritual men, but as men of flesh, as to infants in Christ. So, you know, he says there's two things going on here. Either you are flesh and you don't get this because the flesh cannot understand spiritual things because they're spiritually appraised, and the natural man can't understand this even if he wanted to. Or they're infants in Christ. You see, maturity as a child of God doesn't determined by your age. It determines by God's growth in your life. There are people that have sat in the pews for 50 and 60 years and they're still babes in Christ or not Christ at all. See, we don't want to look at that. We want to assume that because we've put the time in that makes us who we need to be. Well, you can come to church every day of your life and never miss a Sunday and still die and go to hell. You can read the Scripture every day of your life and still die and go to hell. If it doesn't have any impact on your life, if you don't allow God to bring you up and make for Himself what he wants you to be. He says, I gave you milk to drink, not solid food. See, Sunday school, we get into the deep stuff. Wednesday night, we even get, I mean, if you want a filet mignon and you want lobster tail, come on Wednesday night. Man, you get a good meal. A solid meal. Baby ain't going to be able to chew it. Baby ain't going to be able to understand it. Why does a baby drink milk? That's all he can handle. Okay? His digestive system's not mature enough to be able to handle it. Well, when you're spiritually infant, you don't have the spiritual nature to be able to handle the truths of God. So he couldn't, not solid food for you. You're not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you're not able to. Why? Why? For you're still fleshy. You can't be fleshy. We need to determine what's fleshy. And we need to look daily in our lives and take up that cross daily and follow Him. And we need to deny ourselves daily. Because if not, we're going to be fleshy. And if we're fleshy, we can't get it. The Spirit can't speak to us in the flesh. For since there is jealousy... Oh, now we're going to find out what this is about. See, since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshy? And are you not walking like mere men? I mean, we have churches that are suing one another. We have churches that fight over the most ridiculous things that you can imagine. And they expect the Spirit of God to speak to them? Because they take on religion and say, God is in this place. The presence of God is here. Well, maybe it's the presence of Satan in here, disguising and deceiving you that the presence of God is in this place. Maybe His presence isn't here at all. You see, it takes two or more gathered in His name for Him to be here. Seems like a small amount, doesn't it? But do you remember when Abraham bargained with God about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah? If I find 50 righteous, yeah, if you find 50, you find 20, if you find 10, if you find 5, I'll spare them. Is there 2? That are gathered in His name, where He's in our presence. You see, we don't get to say that. We don't get to say, well, God is there. God will tell us when He's here. But religion will tell you, go to these churches, oh, God is here, and they're totally teaching things contrary to God's word. But then they'll say, oh, God is here. Look what God's doing in our church. Look what God's doing. And yet they hire somebody to put burden on the people to have a building fund to build a new building because God's working there? That's garbage. For one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are we not mere men? I'm going to bring this to a practical application. I'm Baptist. Oh, I'm Methodist. I'm Catholic. I'm Protestant. Huh? Are we not mere men when we say that? Because you can be all of those things and not be a child of God. See, they had a struggle here of who baptized who, and boy, if I got baptized by Paul, man, that was a big deal. Or if I got baptized by Apollos, boy, that was, you know, and they fighting among themselves of who they were. Well, don't we do that? When we go into on mission, we're not taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. We try to make them Baptists. We try to make them Methodists. And we give them men's doctrine instead of the doctrine of Almighty God. What then is Apollo? What then? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed? Even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one? Did you hear that? God has to give you an opportunity to be born again. You just don't get to say a prayer. You just don't get to do it when you want to do it. But you better have the call of God. God has got to reveal Himself to you through His Word and through the convicting power of the Holy Spirit that convicts the world of their sin, not the church. Convincing people in their mind that they're lost, staying in the flesh. Very fleshy. You look at all the garbage that goes on in churches. Why in the world would anyone want to go and have what we're presenting to this lost world? We speed. We cuss. We matter of fact, we're scared. Like when coronavirus came, we were scared just like the world was. There was no difference in us. There's no difference in us than in the world that the world can see. Why would the world want what religion has proclaimed? that God is. We're nothing. God has to give you the opportunity to come. Listen to this. Paul says, I planted. Apollos watered. It was a God who's causing the growth. See, we forget that, don't we? We somehow believe that we can educate ourselves to know everything about God. And then we want to write a book about it to tell everybody else what we know about God. There's only one book that's ever been written that knows anything and everything about God. And it was written by the Holy Spirit. I need no other author in my life to direct me to where and who God is. If God doesn't cause the growth, you can't grow. And if you don't approach your quiet time with Him, even if you have a quiet time with Him, and if you don't approach it with an open heart and say, God, I can read this until I'm blue in the face and not mean anything to me if you don't get it to me. See, we pick it up and say, God, look how smart I am. Look what I figured out about God. Well, you didn't figure out the truth about God. You got something religious that man has put his twist on. And religion will send you to hell. There's going to be no religious people in heaven. Do you know that? Only children of God. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. Basically, they have the same goal. They have the same purpose to share truth so that the Holy Spirit will then take over and teach them, and they will begin to have and develop faith through the Word of God so that they can receive the Holy Spirit. But each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. See, it just doesn't happen because you just sit there. When you hear the call, you have to respond. Knowing that you can do nothing to make this happen, you still have to use every human effort that you were given and every strength that you were given to follow that call. You have to put the time in. You have to find out what the truth is, not listen to some preacher telling you that you're okay. You're not okay till God says you're okay. Now he who plants and who waters are one, but each one receives an reward. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field and God's building. Amazing. You see, the one who waters and the one who plants is nothing. Nothing. We're nothing. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5. Listen to what he now writes. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. So before we become so arrogant and we think that we reach a point in our life that we got this, what did that just say? You've got to have somebody go back and remind you of the elementary principles of who God is and what it means to be a child of God, and get all that garbage out of your life, all that religion out of your life, and put truth in there. Don't think for one moment that you reach a point in your life that you're spiritually mature enough to stop following God and not abiding in Him. iniquities, for everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness. You see, we want that. Oh, you're going to heaven. Oh, God died on a cross. Oh, we like that part of it. We like that milk that says, oh, God did something for you that you couldn't do for yourself. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and we leave the last part out so that you wouldn't perish, so that we can make it all about the love of God. See, we like that. That's the milk. Boy, that's what sounds good. We're all going to go to heaven because God loves us so much. He's opened arms like that. He can't wait for us to run to him. The Bible says we don't seek him. We can't run to him unless he gives us the opportunity. No one can come to the Father if it's not granted by the Father. And yet we like this milk. Well, the milk goes sour sometimes when it's left out and allowed for humans to take the elementary principles of Christ and put their thoughts on it. Then the milk becomes sour. You see, it's about the word of righteousness. If we're to become his righteousness, and then we can't hear his word of righteousness because it angers us, because it makes us uncomfortable, because it's not, I'm not getting what I want, I'm remaining that child, and I'm in the flesh because God's not giving me what I want. Instead of having the idea of God, you give me what you want me to have. And then you give me the spirit to accept it. To remain faithful and persevere in this walk. For the days that you allow me to breathe. But solid food is for the mature. Here's something that's made me new to us, is that who because of practice doesn't do any good to read the Word of God. Zilch. Does no one any good. How do I know that? Because the Pharisees and Sadducees read the Word of God every day and they had it memorized. Did them no good. The Messiah stood right in front of them and they didn't get it. It's by practicing. See, it says by practicing the Word of God, by practicing righteousness, they have their senses trained to discern what's good and evil. And if this world and our nation is not got you messed up, and if you're okay with what's going on in our government, and you're okay with going on in our world, then you don't have this. Because there's no way a righteous person who has godly righteousness, not their own, can live in this world and not be disturbed. If it's not eating you up, you better ask God why. Because there's people dying and going to hell because of deception of Satan, and you have been called to be the ambassador of Christ, and you've been called to be the light of this world through the love of God so that we might save a few. And that's what God expects of us. But if you're not doing your part, God can't do his part. Oh, he can, but he chooses not to because he's played it all out how we're supposed to do it. But when that doesn't work and we reach to the point of the impossibility of the scripture, then we bring in religion to make it possible. And my fear is that most people have religion and not a relationship. Because when you ask them, they say, well, I've been baptized, or I do this, and I do this, and I do this, but nobody says what God did for them. Have you noticed that? When you talk to people, it's all, they give you a resume of how they felt and what they did, instead of simply saying, this is what God did for me.